this week, we understand and are reminded once again of the evil that is in the world. We're reminded of the depravity of sinful man, and where one reached out and took the lives of 17 innocent people. And this morning, before I begin the message, I want us to pray for those who lost loved ones, the families, the students at that high school, at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, as they go through that today and have been living this horrific event over the past few days. And even though we have those trying to figure out why, where things went wrong, you know, the bottom line is there's evil in the world. Evil. And as we've sung about this morning, we serve a good God. We serve a righteous God. We serve a God who has provided the solution for this evil. It's a life in Jesus. And I'm going to ask, Brother Kobe, would you mind coming to the platform this morning? As you come, and Brother Mike, would you come? And I want us just as a church just to pray for these families, pray for those whose lives were taken, the families that were directly affected by those whose lives were taken, and certainly students. Also pray for the Broward County officials as they try to sort things out and go through this process. And just pray for our country as a whole, if you would. And that we would fall on our faces before God and ask for his forgiveness and ask him to use us as his followers, as light in this dark world. Brother Cope, would you come lead us in prayer? And Mother Mike, would you follow?
Let us pray. Father, how we do just look to you and place our faith and trust and hope in you. And it is at times like these that we realize what a evil, sinful world this is. But you made a way of breaking that sinfulness by giving us your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom at times like these that we lean on, knowing that your word teaches us that you will not leave us nor forsake us. And we thank you for that blessed promise that we have in Jesus Christ. And your Bible warns us about in the last days of situations and things like this happening. And Father, now that they are, man, how close it feels like that maybe sending your Son for that second coming is drawing closer, and how we can look to that for our hope. And Father, we do pray as ones who've lost children, like me and Brother Chick, and some of those others who children have gone before their time and not really understanding why, but we know in the Bible at several times the question why was asked, but the greatest why was when Jesus Christ was crucified, when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And we know that someday all those question marks will be turned to exclamation marks when we learn everything clearly, when we stand before you and in your presence. For you are a God that has a perfect purpose and a perfect plan, and although we may not understand it, and your word teaches us not to lean on our own understanding, but trust in the Lord in all his ways. But how we do pray for those families, for that school, for those teachers, and for the leaders of that community. May you use your church in that community to work through, to help strengthen and encourage and help those families that are grieving at the loss of 17 students and 50 more injured. And Father, the days to come, how they're going to need that hope and that comfort that only you can give. And of course, this week in Flower Mound and other schools surrounding here, we're hearing these same things that are happening but were prevented by one grandmother who turned in her grandson because he was making threats at the school. And we praise you for that interaction there of saving those lives. But just as your scripture says in Genesis, many times what Satan intends for harm that you use for the good, and we pray that good comes from this. But now just be with us as a nation, maybe to make stricter gun laws preventing guns falling into people who have a mental illness or that are involved in situations like this, or threats that are made that people will take them more seriously and prevent these from happening. But we know that you're sovereign and that you're omnipotent, and you are in control of all things. And now we just place our faith and trust in you, and just ask for your comfort and your peace for these and for their families and for those kids there that in that school, for comfort and peace. And how we pray that through this, that many of them will turn their lives to Jesus Christ. And of course, it's in that precious name of Jesus, who loved us and died for us, that we ask these things.
Our Father, as we pause to reflect on the meaning of life, we understand that life is so fragile. It's like a breath. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And Father, we pray that as Christians in this country, that we would no longer be silent, but we would proclaim the transformation that Jesus Christ has wrought in us, that it might be made known far and wide, that we would not lose this cultural war. But yet, Father, we know that we're at war with powers and principalities that are not physical, that are not flesh and blood, that are causing individuals to do such things. And Father, we know that the only transformation is through Jesus Christ, by his blood that was shed on the cross. And Father, we understand that the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. But Father, your Son came so that we might have life, and not just have life, but have it abundantly. Father, for we can, like Job, proclaim that our Redeemer lives. And Father, we know that our Redeemer liveth and he sits at your right hand. And Father, today we proclaim the truth that is in your word, the truth that is within our lips, Father, that can have the power of transformation through the gospel. Father, we know that the power of transformation throughout, people are wondering why and how we prevent such tragedies. But Father, it's only by the power of Jesus Christ to transform hearts and minds, to renew us from lost individuals who are corrupted completely by sin and made whole and are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ to become white as snow, white as wool. And Father, we pray for those who mourn today. We pray for those who lost loved ones. But Father, we pray most of all that out of this tragedy, that others would be pointed into a relationship with you. We live in a culture that by and large has rejected you. We live in a culture by and large that has become so secularized that they mock you and mock your Son. And Father, we ask that we as Christians would stand against this, and that we would proclaim the gospel and the truth of Jesus Christ. And Father, may that be proclaimed in Miami, as it hears in Texas, as all the way to California and around this world. Father, we need your forgiveness. We need your power. We need your guidance and your authority. May this land be transformed from the bottom to the top, from those who are public servants, from those who are citizens, all the way to the top and the officials in this country. May we be radically transformed and revived in your spirit to go forth and proclaim the gospel. And Father, we pray today for those who are dealing with this tragedy, whether it's in the judicial system, whether it's in the local authorities, whether it's the FBI, whoever it is, Father, we know that the only answer is Jesus Christ. May people proclaim that on the media, on the TV, on the internet, by word of mouth, for that's the only way we can be changed in this life. For it's in his name, and his power, and his authority by which we pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Take your copy of God's word and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. This morning I want to talk to you about the price of transformation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll read verse 19 and 20. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You may be seated. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you like getting what you pay for? Oh, you don't? Some of you do, some of you don't. You don't care. How many of you that in a restaurant, if you get a meal that just wasn't up to par, you're apt to send it back? Come on, be honest. Huh? And if you go to a nice higher-end restaurant, per se, and the meal doesn't come, they kind of expect you to send it back because you need to get what you paid for. Now, I've had some cars that were given to me, and believe me, I got what I paid for. I'm not complaining. I had a friend of mine give me an old Cutlass. And this Cutlass was bought in Odessa, Texas. It was driven in Odessa, Texas. It had Odessa water in the radiator. It was just a rust bucket. Let me just put it that way. So I got what I paid for. And really, when we think about it, when we invest in something, we want value for our investment, don't we? Don't we? Don't you? Now think about that. You know, today in on the internet, you can buy things online, and the big thing now is when you buy something, you purchase something, you write a review about it. And you tell what kind of return or how good this product may be or maybe it wasn't. I mean, how many of you have ever written a review online, huh? Any of you? All right, a few of you have written a review. How many of you read reviews online when you go to purchase something, all right? So that review is there to review the product, to give your opinion of this product, and then to help the ones coming behind you to know whether or not this is a good product or not. Now, let me ask you this question. You've been purchased, and if a review was written about you, would it be good enough, and would it have the wording in it to make somebody else want what you have? Now, the passage that we read this, what we're talking about, our theme this year is transform. We talk about living transformationally, living out a transformed life. And it's important for us as we begin thinking about what to present today and to share with you today and to preach on today. The thought theme kept coming back about the price of transformation. Now, Paul writing to the church of Corinth, there were some things going on, and he talks about flee immorality. He said don't live in sin, don't get involved in immoral sexual sin. He said stay away from all that. And he says, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? And then he goes on to say, you are bought with the price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. When you think about in the context that it's written, he talks about how that the sin in our body and how sin affects us. And then he comes and he reminds us, he said, now listen here. And I think this transcends just this aspect of immoral or sexual sins. It's a wake-up call for us. And the Apostle Paul said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Do you understand that the Holy Spirit of God lives in you? You are not your own. For you've been bought at a price. So let me just dive into this. And I'll try to get done by 12:30, 1 o'clock. Just seeing if you're paying attention, all right? First of all, understand, if you are a follower of Christ, if you say you are a Christian, if you say that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, or that you are a child of God, you need to understand there was a purchase made. There was a purchase made. What was that purchase? Who was that purchase? It was you. It was you. Now, we understand as we read in Scripture that the Scripture relates it to that the same thing as a purchase of a slave. Because outside of Jesus Christ, from the aspect of this purchase that was made, sin enslaves us and binds us and puts us in bondage. You see, when the Apostle Paul talks about sexual sin and moral sin, he talks about other things throughout his letters that he writes that we ought not be involved in as followers of Jesus Christ. It's not because God is trying to communicate through the Apostle Paul to withhold anything good from us. It's to help us understand that sin enslaves you. The old saying goes, sin will take you farther than you want to go and cost you more than you want to pay and keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin is bondage. Sin will destroy one's life. So when we talk about the purchase made, the purchase that was made is you. Now, you were purchased from sin. Turn to Romans chapter 6. And really, the whole chapter of Romans chapter 6 deals with this, but for the sake of time, we're not going to go through the whole chapter. I just want to point out a few verses to you. First of all, Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" He answers that in the first two words of verse 2, "Certainly not." In the King James, it says, "God forbid." We don't need to prostitute the grace of God. I've heard people say, "It's okay. God will forgive you. It's okay. You're under grace. Go ahead and do what you want to do. God will forgive you, give you. God will understand." Now, there's some truth in the statement that God will forgive you and God can forgive you. But you need to understand where Paul writes, Christ, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption." So you need to understand that when somebody gives you that line and says, "Oh, go ahead, do it, it's okay, God understands, God will forgive you." Paul says, "Shall we continue in sin?" If you say you're a child of God and that God has shed his grace in your heart and you know Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, shall you continue in sin? Paul says, "God forbid, certainly not." We have been saved from sin. We've been saved from the power of sin. Look at verse number 7. Notice what he says in Romans chapter 6. "For he who has died has been freed from sin." Now, what is he talking about? He's talking about those who have a relationship with Christ. Those who have died with Christ. Christ died on the cross for us. Christ shed his blood for us. And when we receive him as our Savior, it's a picture of us dying with Christ, because he paid the sin debt. He saved you, he redeemed you, he purchased you from sin. Amen. And so what we understand, he saved us from the power of sin, because if we live in Christ and we trust Christ, sin has no dominion or power over us. When we are living for God, when we are right with God, when we are cultivating our relationship with the Lord, when we're spending time in his word, spending time in prayer, communicating with him, sin has no power over us. Because he says we've been freed from sin. We're free from the penalty of sin. For the wages of sin, verse 23 of Romans chapter 6, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The penalty of sin, the wages, the payment for sin is death. We know that when Adam and Eve sinned, death passed upon all men, Romans chapter 5, for that all have sinned. But in Christ, there's life. There's freedom. One day, we'll be purchased and redeemed and saved from the very presence of sin. Look at verse number 8, what he says in Romans chapter 6. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall also live with him. So understand, we've been saved from sin. As a follower of Christ, we should no longer continue in sin. But not also are we saved from sin, but we're saved to righteousness as a follower of Christ. We are saved to righteousness. Look in verse number 18. He says, having been, Romans chapter 6, verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Having been freed from sin, we become slaves to righteousness. Let me give you a little example of the difference. We have been delivered from the bondage of sin. Sin is bondage. Sin will ruin your life. And when you have been free from sin, and as the song says, he's the chain breaker. He has broken the bondage of sin. He has set you free in Christ. And therefore, because of our freedom in Christ, we become examples of slaves of righteousness. We live our lives to bring honor and glory to Christ. Look on down with me. Notice what he says. Verse 19. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. Understand that statement right there. He gives you a perfect picture of what sin does. Slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness. And notice what he says, leading to more lawlessness. Sin continues to take you down until it destroys you. But then what does he say? So now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. I love the scripture where it says, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. You have been purchased. There's been a purchase made. You've been purchased from sin to righteousness. Verse 22 in Romans chapter 6, but now having been set free, this is the third time he said being set free or made free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. Let me just tell you this morning, I'm free. I'm no longer a slave in bondage. I'm a slave of righteousness. I'm a slave in freedom. Sin has no hold over on me. I am a human being. I have feet of clay just like you. Doesn't mean I'm not going to ever be tempted. Doesn't mean I may not slip up somewhere down the road. But here's what I do know. If I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But I don't go looking for sin. I don't go, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. I don't go looking for sin. I don't go looking to do things that I know would bring dishonor to the Lord Jesus Christ. There has to be a cognizant decision made that you are going to follow Christ and do the works of righteousness. As we talked about last week, this living a transformed life, it's a choice. It is a choice. Not only was there a purchase made, there was a price that was paid. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. For you were bought at a price. There was only one price that could redeem all humanity. Let me tell you, first of all, this price paid was not by human intervention. It was not by human intervention. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing I can do to come up with the price that was required to pay a sin debt for humanity. What did John write in John chapter 1, verse 11? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn with me to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verse 11. It says, he came to his own, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Notice what he says. Who were born not of blood. It's not of human descent, nor of the will of the flesh. It's not of human desire, nor of the will of man. It's not of human design. There is nothing in you or of you that could merit or that could satisfy the payment that had to be paid. The price was far too great for you and I to be able to make the payment. You read Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not of human intervention. There's not anything you can do. It doesn't matter about your church membership. It doesn't matter about your service in the church. It doesn't matter about anything other than what Christ has done. It was not human intervention. It was divine intervention that was able to make the price that was paid. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Well, amen. Well, hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. The price was paid. Peter writes it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from vain conversation, but he says, you are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. What's the old song we used to sing? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. There was a price that was paid for you. It was divine intervention. The last phrase of that verse in John chapter 1, verse 13. Not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of flesh, but it says, but of God. Jesus Christ came and died so that you could be redeemed. So that you could be made new. So that you could have forgiveness. So that you could be freed from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin and ultimately from the very presence of sin to walk in righteousness and holiness, bringing glory and honor to God. There was a purchase made. There was a price that was paid. Let me just talk about the place for just a moment. Notice what he said in verse 19 in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You see, when one gets saved, the Holy Spirit of God moves in and takes up residence in your life. You don't go anywhere without Him if you're a child of God. You don't do anything without Him. You may do things against what He's leading you to do, but you won't do anything without Him if you're a child of God. Your body is the temple. Now think about the temple for just a moment. What was the temple? What does it represent? Well, first of all, it was a sacred place. It's where God dwelt. So your body as a temple truly is a sacred place because the Holy Spirit of God lives within it. Not only was it a sacred place, it was a worship place. Our bodies should be used. Our bodies should respond as an act of worship in righteousness to God. It was a consecrated place. It was a place that was set apart specifically to worship God, specifically for the priest to come into the very presence of God and offer atonement for the sins of Israel. So you see, the temple was very significant. We know that we have a high priest. His name is Jesus. We know our high priest purchased and redeemed and set us free from sin. And our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Understand that we are set apart to be instruments of righteousness for the Master's use. Let me ask you the question again. Someone was writing a review of your life, what would it say? Would it read, redeemed, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, fit for the Master's use, an instrument of righteousness, blessed, free? Or would it read, not sure if it was really purchased, not sure it's really been redeemed, sinful, in bondage? What's the review? If you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been redeemed. Understand there's a place in which the Holy Spirit dwells. And we're to live in righteousness and holiness. Lastly, the temple is a place of witness. We are to be a witness for the Lord. With heads bowed and eyes closed.